तत्संयोरावृणीमहे गातुं यज्ञाय गातुं यज्ञपतये दैवी स्वस्तिरस्तु नः स्वस्तिर्मानुषेभ्यः ऊर्ध्वं जिगातु भेषजम् शन्नो अस्तु द्विपदे शं चतुष्पदे ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. वी प्रे टू द डिवाइन लॉर्ड फॉर द वेल बीइंग ऑफ ऑल बीइंग्स. मे ऑल मिजरीज एंड शॉर्टकमिंग्स लीव अस फॉरएवर so that we may worship and sing the praises of the Lord, the Divine Lord. May the medicinal herbs grow in potency so that diseases may be cured effectively. May the gods rain peace on us. May all human beings be happy. May all other beings, animals and plants may also be happy. May there be peace within us all. May there be harmony amongst us all. May there be peace everywhere in nature. Good morning and welcome. We have another opportunity to continue our study of this scripture, Sadhana Panchakam, composed by Shankaracharya. As the name indicates, Panchakam, this is a hymn containing five stanzas. Sadhana Panchakam, five stanzas on various spiritual practices. We have so far done 14, there are a total of 40 instructions in five stanzas. 15th we will do now. The 15th instruction is Brahmaikaksharamartyatam. These are short statements. Two instructions in every line. Brahma ekaksharam artyatam. The one syllable representing the Supreme Reality Brahman, which is also called Pranava and which is familiar to all of us as Om, the universal symbol signifying all aspects of divinity, that is called Brahmaksharam. Artyatam, Shankaracharya is exhorting us to dwell on the meaning of this, on the significance of this syllable Om. The sound Om represents the divine in all aspects. Patanjali, in his Yoga Sutra, says, Tasya Vachakaha Pranavaha. Vachaka means the sound equivalent of a concept or an entity. Tasya means of the Supreme Reality, the Lord of all Lords, can be signified in sound by the syllable Om. Tasya vachakaha pranava. Pranava means the syllable Om, the symbol Om. In the Kathopanishad, Yama gives instruction on the importance, on the significance and importance of Om to Nachiketa. Yama says, I shall tell you briefly that ultimate goal which all the Vedas propound, to which all austerities lead, and desiring which people practice various spiritual disciplines, and that is Om, the ultimate reality to reach which, to experience which, all the seekers are trying in various, pursuing various paths, that is represented by the symbol Om. This one syllable Om is common symbol representing both God with form and the Absolute Reality without name and form. Saguna Brahma and Nirguna Nirakara Brahma. All aspects of divinity can be represented by this one common syllable, common symbol, Om. And if we meditate on Om, Yama says to Nachiketa in the Kathopanishad, if you meditate on this ultimate symbol, there are so many symbols representing divinity, each symbol representing one aspect of the divine. But all aspects of all forms, divinity in all its numerous infinite manifestations is one common syllable, common symbol, Om. If you meditate on this one with devotion, dwelling on the meaning of this, on the significance of this symbol, then we reach the ultimate goal. Yama says, Yo idichati tasya tat. If those people who are interested in the divine aspect with form and name and qualities, they reach that goal. And those people who are interested in pursuing the formless absolute reality, they will reach that goal. Whatever goal we have in mind, we reach that by meditating and dwelling on the meaning of the symbol Om, doing Om Japa. Patanjali emphasizes the importance of dwelling on the significance of Om. Should not be a mechanical repetition of the sound, but our chosen ideal must be kept in mind when we do the Om Japa. Tad Japaha Tad Artha Bhavanam. That Patanjali says in his Yoga Sutra. Artha Bhavanam means dwelling on the significance of the symbol Om. Symbol is not just a mechanical sound. Anybody can say the sound, but we have to dwell on the significance of that symbol. What it represents, it is the entity which it represents that we are interested in. This level Om is the best means, best support for realizing both God with form and Supreme Reality Brahman. Meditating on Om, one becomes adorable in Brahmaloka, says Yama to Nachiketa in the Kathopanishad. Scriptures therefore enjoin meditation on Om. Among all other various spiritual disciplines, many numerous disciplines depending on the taste, temperament, and ability of the seeker, there are so many different paths and disciplines. But among all of them, meditation on Om is extolled as the best, most proficient, efficient discipline. In the Mundaka Upanishad, there is a very beautiful imagery. Pranamo dhanusharo hyatma brahma tallakshamichate. Not only is the imagery very beautiful, but the poetry is also very nice, very beautiful, very in a poetic way. The sage explains this imagery in the Mundaka Upanishad, which is being studied Wednesday evenings here. Pranamo dhanusharo hyatma brahma tallakshyamuchyate apramattena vedhavyam sharavattanmayo bhavet. Imagine there is an archer like Arjuna or Ekalavya, a very proficient archer, and he is practicing his archery, and there is a target shooting practice for archery, and then he takes one arrow and mounts it on the bow. That is the situation, imagery we have to create in our minds. Now what happens is, when the arrow is released, if the archer is a proficient archer, and if his concentration is unwavering, totally concentrating on the target and thinking of nothing else, seeing, hearing nothing else, then unerringly, infallibly, the arrow goes and strikes the target. And what happens to the arrow? The arrow becomes one with the target. It merges in the target. That is what we have to do, spiritual seekers have to do. What is the target? Brahma talaksha muchyate. Brahman is the laksha. Laksha means target. Our target is nothing abhyudaya, nothing worldly achievement. Those are smaller, short-term goals. But our ultimate target in life is Supreme Reality, Brahman, with which we have to establish and experience identity. That is the goal of life. There are so many goals of life. We'll talk about goals of life in a subsequent instruction. Shankara talks about goals of life in a subsequent instruction. But what is the ultimate goal of life? There are so many short-term goals, intermediate goals. We have to do this today, we have to do this, accomplish it next week, we have to prepare that next month. But what is the ultimate goal of life? Ultimate goal of life is to experience our divine nature and become one with the ultimate reality, which is our inherent nature, which is inherently present within us as the very center and core of our personality. That is what we truly are, Vedanta says. What we consider ourselves, body and mind, it is not our true identity. That's a false notion under which we are suffering. We have to shed this false notion that we are the body and the mind. And Vedanta says, you are the ultimate reality, and we should not stop our effort until we reach that experience directly. Not enough to read about it, think about it, talk about it, but we have, each one of us has to experience it in our lives. So becoming one with that, becoming that, just like the river becomes the ocean, another beautiful imagery in the same Mundaka Upanishad, the arrow becomes one with the target. Target is Brahman for our life. That is the ultimate target towards which we have to direct our lives. And what is the arrow which is to be released? Arrow pranavo dhanu. Bow is the pranava om. And sharo hyatma, our individual soul, is the arrow. Brahmatal laksham chate. Brahman is ultimate reality. And what is the state of mind of the archer? Apramatena vedhavyam. Earlier we, on an earlier occasion, we try to understand the meaning of the word pramada, forgetfulness. Apramatena vedhavyam means the arrow has to be aimed at the target, which is ultimate reality, Brahman, for our life, with an unwavering mind, with an undistracted mind, undistracted by longing for external objects. With one-pointed devotion, total concentration, we have to direct our lives to achieving that ultimate goal of unity with the divine already present inherently within us. That concentration is described with the help of a story in the Mahabharata, which all of you must have heard at one time or other. One day, Drona, the martial arts teacher of the Pandavas and Kauravas, he was testing the concentration of his students. When Arjuna's turn came, Arjuna's concentration is tested by Drona, the teacher. The target was a bird sitting on a tree. Big tree, many branches, and on one of the branches a bird is sitting. And the students were asked by the teacher Drona to aim at one eye of that bird, not the whole bird. So specific, so pointed. And then when Arjuna's turn came, Drona asks him, Arjuna, what are you seeing? Are you seeing the bird? He says, no. Are you seeing the tree? No. Are you seeing the branch on which the bird is sitting? No. Are you seeing me? No. What are you seeing? Only the eye which I want to strike. That is my target. With that one-pointed, total concentration, we have to conduct our spiritual practice. Apramattena vedhavyam. In the Mundaka Upanishad, the sage says, Sharavat tanmayo bhavet. Sharam means the arrow. Just like tanmayata means becoming one with the goal, with the target. No separation is there. I am separate, God is separate. But God is my goal. Brahman is the ultimate reality. That is what I truly am. I want to experience oneness with it. not remaining satisfied by the separation. Separation is intolerable for a devotee. Separation is intolerable for a seeker of the ultimate reality, formless, absolute reality. Sharavat tanmayo buddha. That, what is the means to achieve this oneness? Om is the means. Sharo yatma pranamo dhanu. What is the instrument that makes us able to achieve this goal of oneness, experiencing oneness with our true divine nature? Om is the instrument. Om is the means. That is how important a place Om has been given in Vedantic scriptures. That means, Sri Krishna says, how important this Om is in spiritual practice. There is no Vedic mantra which does not contain Om. You take any mantra, it starts with Om. All mantras have this one common syllable, Om. There may be other syllables, other bijaksharas, but Om has to be there. That enjoys the prime place in all spiritual literature. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says that if we just only utter the syllable Om and give up the body at the last moment of our earthly existence, that will take us to the ultimate goal. Whatever we think about, whatever thought is uppermost in our minds, most of the time in our lives, that thought is most likely to come to our mind at the time of departure, prasthana. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevanam. When a person leaves the body with whatever thought is uppermost in that person's mind, that is a sure indicator of the destination towards which that person is traveling. If I give up the body thinking about money, oh, I should have made more money, I did not make enough money in this life, I wasted my time in studying Vedanta, then I'll be making money in my next life. Whatever yam yam vangapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante, at the end of our lifetime, kalevaram tyajati, gives up the body, whatever thought is uppermost in my mind at that moment, that is an indicator of where I am bound, of my destination. If I think about Om in the last moment of my life, then where am I going to go? I'm going to go to Supreme Reality to reach my chosen ideal. That is what Sri Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Om ityekaksharam brahma vyaharan mam anusmaran. Vyaharan means pronouncing, chanting. If it's not possible to say it loudly, in our mind we should be saying Om. Mam anusmaran, remembering God. If I am mechanically chanting Om and thinking about my grandchild, when its marriage is going to happen, that is not going to do. Mam anusmaran. We must be remembering the Supreme Reality, which is the goal, which is the significance of Om. Om represents that. It's not enough to mechanically repeat that syllable, Om, but you should be thinking about that reality which Om represents. Vyaharan Om ityekaksharam brahma, that represents Brahman. Vyaharan, pronouncing that Om, mamanusmaran, remembering me, yaha priyati tyajam deham. Deham tyajan yaha prayati. That person who leaves, departs this from this world, giving up this body, which has served as the instrument to reach that position, goal in life. Sayati paramam gatim. What happens to that? That person reaches the ultimate goal, ultimate reality. So that is the importance of Om. And Shankara explains that very succinctly in this instruction. Brahmaikaksharam artyatam. Om represents Brahman. Ekaksharam, it is one syllable. There cannot be anything simpler than that one. And as Patanjali says, tasya vachakah pranavah. Om represents the ultimate reality in all its aspects. God with form, without form, any aspect of God, whatever is your chosen ideal, Om can represent that one. But you should be thinking about that chosen ideal when you repeat Om. When you do Om Japa. Tadjapas tadartha bhavana, Patanjali says, thinking about the significance, object of which Om is the symbol. Now we go to the 16th instruction. 16th instruction also takes us back to the original scripture, Upanishad. Shruti shiro vakyam samakarnyatam. Shruti means the Vedas, generally. Shruti means heard scriptures, revealed or heard. Shruti shiraha means the head of the Vedas. What is the head of the Vedas? The most important part of a person is the head. In the same way, the most important part of all the Vedas are the Upanishads. Shruti shiraha means Upanishad. Shruti shiro vakya means sentence. Vakya means sentence. Upanishad contains many important statements, sentences, conveying the gist and essential teaching of the entire Vedanta. Samakarnyatam. Samakarnyatam means you should listen to the exposition of the statements of the scriptures, of the Upanishads. When an illumined teacher is expounding the meaning and significance of the sentences of the Upanishads, we should listen to it carefully. Three steps have to be done according to the Upanishads. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we have many times referred to the story of the great sage Yajnavalkya. This Yajnavalkya, like other sages of that time, Vedic time, was a householder. And he had not one but two wives. It was okay those days to have more wives than one. But the great sage, Brahmajnani, though as a householder, does not mean he cannot be a Brahmajnani. Janaka was not only a householder, he was a king with a whole kingdom to rule, but he was a Brahmajnani. So there is no, if you are a householder, it does not preclude your becoming a Brahmajnani or a great devotee. You can be both at the same time. So this Yajnavalkya was a great Brahmajnani, also a householder with two wives. The names of the wives were what? Katyayani and Maitreyi. You heard this story many times. And one day, when the time came for Yajnavalkya to repair to the forest to pursue Vanaprastha Ashrama, he calls his two wives and addresses them with great love. He says, "Dears, I have lived with you for so long. Now the time has come for me to go to the forest to pursue Vanaprastha Ashrama, the retirement phase of life, when almost the entire time and energy are spent in pursuing the ultimate reality. Householders, artha kama have been done, finished. All those goals have been done. Now we go to the highest goal of life, to know the ultimate reality. Now you have options, you have two options." He offers both options to both wives. "We have some property." He had accumulated a lot of cattle, because those days the reward for winning in a scholarly debate was cattle. Many thousand cattle used to get if you won in one great debate in the court of King Janaka. 1,000 cattle was the big indicator of wealth. Just like dollars is the indicator of wealth these days, cattle, number of heads of cattle was the indicator of wealth those days in the Upanishad times. He had a lot of cattle and some house and property. And he says to his wives, Katyayani, Maitreyi, you can either keep all this property, the cattle and the house, you can enjoy, and I'll go to the forest, or you can accompany me." Katyayani immediately gives her option, her choice. He says, "I will stay back and take care of the cattle and the property. I don't want to go to the forest with you." Maitreyi had a question. Maitreyi asks two questions. Maitreyi, wife of Yajnavalkya, asks Yajnavalkya, "If I stay back, what benefit will I get?" Yajnavalkya says, "If you stay back, you will enjoy the property. Lot of property has been accumulated. You will lead the life of a rich person. Comfortable life you will lead. If I go with you, what benefit will I get?" Second question, Maitreyi asks. "If you come with me, you will get Amrutattva. Amritattva means immortality. Brahmajnana means it gives us the experience of our immortal nature. As long as we remain at the body-mind level, we are mortals because body-mind is going to go. But if we establish oneness with the divine within us, which is immortality, Amritattva, in Upanishad it is called Amritattva. And then Yajnavalkya says, makes a very interesting statement. Amritattvasya na shasti vittena. If you keep all the property and the cattle and the house, you will enjoy a comfortable life, you will not get Amritattva. You lead a good life as long as you live. And that is it. You cannot take it with you. You cannot take anything with you. But if you come with me, you will not have the benefit of this wealth, but you will get Amritattva. Your choice. He leaves it open to her. And Maitreyi, she says, I will go with you. They repair to the forest. And then Yajnavalkya teaches Vedanta to his beloved wife Maitreyi in the setting of the forest hermitage. And he explains the nature of true love. What is true love? True love is something that is everlasting and unconditional. He explains all of that. We will not go into that right now. What Yajnavalkya taught to Maitreyi, that's a significant part of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. But at the conclusion of his one of his lessons, Yajnavalkya says this to Maitreyi. Atma ma are shrotavyaha, mantavyaha, nididhyasitavyaha, Maitreyi, atmani shrute mate vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam syat. Sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati. Yajnavalkya says this very significant statement, often quoted from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. We have to know the Atman, that is the goal of life. Making money, enjoying family life, these are also goals of life. These are not prohibited. Arthakam are legitimate purusharthas. We can do all of that as much as we want. But they are not sufficient. We should not stop there. We should go ahead, we should go further, and reach the ultimate goal of life, which is union with the divine. Whether you are pursuing the path of bhakti, then you want to become one with your chosen ideal, or you are pursuing the path of jnana, then you want to experience your divine nature, amritattva, the goal is the same. That goal has to be reached. Atma ma are drashtavyaha. You have to know that Atman. How to do that one? Yajnavalkya prescribes three steps. The first step is what Shankara is explaining in this 16th instruction. Yajnavalkya says, Atma ma are shrotavyaha. Sravana means hearing. What you are doing is hearing. I am also doing hearing because I am simply hearing the words of the books and sharing it with you. But this also kind of hearing only. Hearing somebody else's words. Now, ideally, the person who explains the Upanishads, Vedanta, should be an illumined teacher with experience himself or herself. Then it makes full impact. Atma are shrotavyaha, sravana has to be done. But we should not stop there. Hearing is only the first step. It gives us the verbal meaning only, superficial meaning only. To get the deeper meaning and really understand the significance of this statements of the Upanishads, we have to follow up the hearing with reflection. Mantavyaha, mananam has to be done. Sravanam, mananam. But that is also not enough. Mananam gives us the deeper meaning, reveals the significance, intended meaning, lakshyartha, but we have to go further. And third step is nididhyasitavyaha maitreya. Nididhyasana has to be done, deep meditation has to be done. Actually, they telescope into one another. If the hearing is done properly, as explained in the Gita, we'll come to that. How to do hearing, we'll come to that in the next instruction. If the hearing is done properly, it gradually becomes mananam. If the mananam is done properly, mananam means reflection, reflecting on the deeper meaning, analysis in our own minds. If that is done properly, it gradually deep, the concentration becomes deeper and it becomes deep meditation, which is called nididhyasana. And what is the culmination of Nididhyasana? Nididhyasana leads us to the ultimate experience, which is called Samadhi. Culminating in Samadhi. So that is how important the hearing is. When Shankara says in the 16th instruction, Shruti Shiro Vakyam Samakarnyatam, you should listen carefully. Akarnyatam means you should listen carefully to the exposition of the Upanishadic statements by an illumined teacher. One important requirement when we listen to something, even when in ordinary life, when conversation is going on, barely we pay attention to it, you are thinking of something else. But we can get away with that for our most purposes. When you are watching TV, how many people are concentrating so much on TV? We're just going on something, and we get the general drift of it and conversation, and then life goes on. But we should not do that kind of listening. When we listen to the Vedantic exposition, it has to be done with one important requirement for listening, is Shraddha. The importance of Shraddha has been, Swami, last week Swamiji Atmagyananda explained about the significance of Shraddha. Shraddha and faith and doubt. Shraddha is very important. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna goes to the extent of saying that a person's Shraddha is the person. What is the essence of a person? What am I? What are you? We are whatever Shraddha is. That's what Sri Krishna says in the 17th chapter of the Gita. Shraddha mayo yam purushaha yo yat shraddha sa eva saha. What I am, my Shraddha is, that I am. What am I? What my Shraddha is. Shraddha means my innermost, deepest convictions in which I truly believe and which I pursue. Shraddha is defined in many ways. In Christian tradition also, great importance is placed on the importance of, great emphasis is placed on the importance of Shraddha. In the Gospel according to Saint Mark, Lord Jesus Christ says, have faith in God. Faith is important. Have faith in God, the Lord said, Jesus Christ said. We have faith in Shraddha must be there. Shraddha means a deep inborn conviction. Sri Krishna explains how this Shraddha can come to us, from where it comes. A deep inborn conviction that I must pursue the ultimate reality as the ultimate goal of my life. Whatever else I do, in addition to that, on top of that, I must pursue my union with the divine. That earnestness, that eagerness, that strong desire, which is also called mumukshatvam, that is Shraddha. Sattvanurupa sarvasya Shraddha bhavati Bharata. Sattvanurupa, how does Shraddha come? Where does it come? Sri Krishna explains it in the 17th chapter of the Gita. It comes from the sattva anurupa. Anurupa means depend. It depends on our previous impressions. That means my present Shraddha, what I want to pursue most in my life. I want to pursue many things. Especially when somebody is young, we want to do many things. We want to go there, we want to go here, we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to acquire that, we have to pursue that. All things are okay. But of all those things, we prioritize. And what is the one most important thing that I want to do in my life, regardless of other things? And that is the indication of what Shraddha. I want to pursue knowledge of God, union with God. That is the Shraddha that we want, that we should have. Sattva Anurupa. How does it come? It comes as a result of our inborn tendencies. What are inborn tendencies? All the things that I have thought about in my previous existence until this moment in my existence, they have left an impression in my mind, and the sum total of all these impressions, the totality of all the impressions of everything I have thought, said, and done, is my present Shraddha. That's my present personality. Swami Vivekananda explains how a person's personality is formed impression by impression. Just like a house is being built brick by brick, we are building our Shraddha this moment, brick by brick, impression by impression. So you should be careful about what thoughts and I allow my mind to think about. That's how my Shraddha is built. Sattvanurupa sarvasya ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ ಭವತಿ ಭಾರತ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾಮಯೋಯಂ ಪುರುಷ. ದಿಸ್ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಬಟ್ ಈ ಶ್ರದ್ಧ. ಇಫ್ ಯು ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಸಮರೈಸ್ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ ವರ್ಡ್ ದಿ ವಾಟ್ ಎ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್, ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ಯು? ಯು ಮೇ ಸೇ ಐ ಎಮ್ ಇಂಜಿನಿಯರ್, ಎಮ್ ಎ ಕೆಮಿಸ್ಟ್, ಎಮ್ ಎ ರಿಯಲ್ ಎಸ್ಟೇಟ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್, ಯು ಆರ್ ಎ ಮೆಕ್ಯಾನಿಕಲ್ ಇಂಜಿನಿಯರ್ ಆರ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್, ಲಾಯರ್, ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್. ದಟ್ಸ್ ಒನ್ ಆಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಯುವರ್ ಪರ್ಸನಾಲಿಟಿ ಓನ್ಲಿ. ಬಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ಯು? ಯು ಆರ್ ವಾಟ್ ಯುವರ್ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ ಈಸ್. ದಟ್ಸ್ ಫಾರ್ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್, ಯು ಆರ್ ವಾಟ್ ಯುವರ್ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ ಈ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾಮಯ ಅಯಂ ಪುರುಷ. ದಿಸ್ ಹ್ಯೂಮನ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಈಸ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಬಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಡೆವಲಪ್ ದಿ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ. ದಿ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ ಈಸ್ ಎಂಫಸೈಸ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಬೈಬಲ್, ಇನ್ ದಿ ಬುಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಸೈಂಟ್ ಮಾರ್ಕ್, ಗಾಸ್ಪೆಲ್ ಅಕಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಸೈಂಟ್ ಮಾರ್ಕ್. ದೇರ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಸೇಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಪಾಸಿಬಲ್ ಟು ಹಿಮ್ ದಟ್ ಬಿಲೀವ್ ಇಟ್, ದಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ. ಹಿ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಯೂಸ್ ದಿ ವರ್ಡ್ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ, ಹಿ ಯೂಸ್ ದಿ ವರ್ಡ್ ಬಿಲೀವ್, ಫೇತ್. ಹಿ ಯೂಸ್ ದಿ ವರ್ಡ್ ಫೇತ್. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ ಇನ್ ಲಿಸನಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದಿ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ದಿ ಇಂಪಾರ್ಟೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಿಸನಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದಿ ಉಪನಿಷದಿಕ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೋಸಿಷನ್ಸ್ ಬೈ ಎನ್ ಇಲ್ಯುಮಿನೇಟ್ ಟೀಚರ್. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿ ಪಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ? ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ ದಟ್ ಮೇಕ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಫ್ರಕ್ಟಿಫೈಸ್ ದಿ ಲಿಸನಿಂಗ್. ಅದರ್ವೈಸ್ ಲಿಸನಿಂಗ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಲಿಸನಿಂಗ್ ಟು ರೇಡಿಯೋ ವೆನ್ ಯು ಆರ್ ಡ್ರೈವಿಂಗ್. ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಇಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್, ಕಾರ್ ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಇಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್, ಹೌ ಮಚ್ ಅಟೆನ್ಷನ್ ಆರ್ ಬಿ ಪೇಯಿಂಗ್? ಓ, ಸಮ್ ವೆದರ್, ಸಮ್ ಸ್ಪೋರ್ಟ್ಸ್, ಸಮ್ ಪಾಲಿಟಿಕ್ಸ್, ಸಮ್ ಎಲೆಕ್ಷನ್, ಪ್ರೈಮರಿ, ರಿಪಬ್ಲಿಕ್, ದಿಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್ ನಾಯ್ಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್ ನಾಯ್ಸ್, ಬಟ್ ಐ ಮೇ ಹೌ ಮಚ್ ಅಟೆನ್ಷನ್ ಐ ಮೇ ಪೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಇಟ್? ಐ ಆಮ್ ಪೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಅಟೆನ್ಷನ್ ಟು ಅಂಟು ರೋಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡ್ರೈವಿಂಗ್, ಬಟ್ ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಇಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್. ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಲಿಸನಿಂಗ್. ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾ ದೇರ್. That's not the highest goal of my life, to listen to WTOP radio. My highest goal of life is to go and reach my destination safely. So Shraddha is the means which takes me to the intended destination. So Shankara emphasizes the importance of Shraddha in the Viveka Chudamani. He says two things are important in developing our Shraddha. What are they? Shastrasya, scripture. Scripture means Upanishad here. In the present context, scripture means Upanishad by implication. Shastrasya Guruvakyasya. Guruvakya means what the teacher says. The teacher must be Kshatriya, Brahmanishta, illumined person. Then his teaching will be fully effective. Otherwise, it is a water snake catching hold of a frog. You know that parable from the Gospel. You don't want that situation. Anyhow, otherwise, if a cobra catches hold of a frog, before it has opportunity to croak three times, it is done. The frog is the ego of the student. If the cobra is the illumined teacher. If he catches hold of that, then very quickly, job is done. Otherwise, a long struggle. Both of them are struggling. So that is another situation. Shastrasya Guruvakyasya Satyabhadyavadharanam. Shankara nicely defines in a very poetic way also. It's beautiful poetry, besides being sublime reality. Shankara says, Shastrasya Guruvakyasya Satyabuddhi. What the Shastras means Upanishad are depicting, Guruvakya, what the element teacher is saying based upon his experience, not merely based upon reading, Satyabuddhi, that these two things represent, reflect, depict the reality, the truth. That is the truth. What is the truth? Not what everybody says. But all the newspapers print may or may not be true. May be true partial, in a partial sense, it may be true today. That's not ultimate truth. Ultimate truth is what the Upanishads contain, Shastra, Guru Vakya, and what the teacher says. The teacher must be an illumined teacher. Then every word of his represents the total reality, total truth, undiluted truth. That conviction is called sa shraddha kathita sadbhihi. What is the role of the shraddha in spiritual life? Yaya vastu palabhyate. If we have the shraddha, we will reach the ultimate goal. Vastu means ultimate reality, reaching ultimate reality. That is substance. Vastu means substance. So that is the shraddha with which we have to listen to the exposition of the Upanishadic statements by a teacher. Now, Sri Krishna gave simpler instructions. Besides talking about Shraddha in the 17th chapter, in the 4th chapter he says, when you approach a teacher with the intention of listening to his teachings of the Upanishadic statements, you have to do three things. Tadvidhi pranipatena. Second thing, pariprashnena. Third thing, sevaya. We have to do three things when you approach a teacher, when you listen to the teacher. Pranipata, we have to do complete prostration, indicating surrender and humility. If you keep my ego up, let me see what he says. Let me see how much he knows. I will ask him this question, see whether he knows the answer or not. That is not going to do. That will be a very big obstruction and nothing enters the mind except ego becomes stronger. Sometimes in classes, people have a question, raise their hand, and I say, what's the question? They start a long exposition, quoting all the scriptures, how much they have read, and there's no question. That is not listening. Pranipata means with humility and surrender, with great willingness and eagerness to listen to the great receptivity, mind must be receptive. Pranipatena pariprashnena. Pariprashna means not asking question to simply to ask question, but inquiring into the nature of reality, and when some doubt comes, seeking clarification with sincerity and humility. That is pariprashna. Third thing is sevaya. Seva means doing some personal service, again indicating love for the teacher. Last time, I think it was last time that we saw how Totaka, merely by doing great loving service to the teacher, he got jnana. What other students like Padmapada, Sureshwara had to gain by a lot of study and reflection and all those things, Totaka got it by loving service of Shankaracharya. That story we saw last time, Totaka Ashtakam. So, Sevaya, Tadvidhi. Then what happens? Te Tattva Darshinaha, those knowers of the ultimate reality, Tattva Darshin, knowers of the ultimate truth, Upadekshanti, they will impart this knowledge to you. So, the importance of Shraddha, what the scriptures say, what the illumined teacher says, they reflect the truth, that conviction is Shraddha, and with the Shraddha, we have to listen to the words of the exposition of the Upanishadic statements. Then one more quickly we shall do. 17th instruction. Vakyarthascha vicharyatam. Vakyartha means, vichara means analyzing, reflecting on the artha meaning of the vakya means of the mahavakyas. Upanishads have four mahavakyas. Mahavakya means the great sentence. That means a short sentence containing two or three words which reflects the essential teaching of the Upanishads, of the Vedas. If you distill the entire Vedas and Upanishads and extract the meaning and express it in two or three words, then it becomes a Mahavakya. There are four Mahavakyas are there. The first Mahavakya is Aham Brahmasmi, I am that Brahman, from the Brahadaranyaka Upanishad. I means not the body and the mind ego. The I within me is the Atman within me, the divine presence within me. That's what Bhagavad Gita says. In Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, know me to be the indwelling spirit in all the bodies. Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharat. In all the bodies, including animal bodies, plant bodies, wicked people's bodies, saintly people's bodies, female bodies, male bodies, trees and everything, ocean, water, air, sun, moon, star, earth and everything. Whatever is there, the essential central point in all of those things is the same one ultimate reality. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram. In all the beings, he is present, the Lord is present to the same extent. So we have to establish identity with that I am truly am. I am not this coming and going outer aspects of my personality. That is first Mahavakya. Second Mahavakya coming in the Chandogya Upanishad, which the great sage Uddalaka teaches to his son Shvetaketu, is Tattvamasi that thou art. Third Mahavakya coming in the Mandukya Upanishad, is Ayamatma, Brahma. Ayamatma means this individual soul, which appears to be a separate entity, is nothing but the ultimate reality, Brahman. The separation is only apparent. It is just like if you, there is a small 8-ounce cup or 6-ounce cup, there is some empty space in it, the cup is empty. And the empty space in the 8-ounce cup or 6-ounce cup is no different from the space in this hall, which is no different from the space outside in the sky, in the outer space, into billions of miles. Same one space pervading all containers, unconditionally, an unbroken continuum. The separation is only apparent because of the association with the various containers, cups and jars and pots and pans and things like that. Avibhaktam cha bhuteshu vibhaktam iva cha sthitam. So like that, there are four Mahavakyas, but we can identify dozens of great sentences like that in the Upanishadic, the major Upanishads. For example, Chandogya Upanishad says, Sarvam Kalavidam Brahma. This whole visible universe is nothing but Brahman. We simply read it, but we have to go ahead and make it our experience. That is the culmination of this knowledge. Second, another sentence which comes to my mind is what Sanat Kumara says to Narada in Chandogya Upanishad. Narada was a great sage. He was well versed in all the shastras. There is nothing that he did not know. But still he did not have peace of mind. Gathering a lot of knowledge, acquiring mastery of the scriptures, does not guarantee peace of mind. Narada had no peace of mind. Shochami, he says to Sanat Kumara, I am beset with, afflicted with grief. Shokasya param tarayatu. Please help me to cross over the ocean of grief. What does he know? Whole list, big catalogue of shastras he gives. So he was told by Sanat Kumara, there is no happiness in the finite, in the limited offerings of the world. They promise a lot but deliver very little. Bhumaiva sukham na alpe sukhamasti. Very significant statement in the whole of Upanishadic literature. Bhumaiva sukham. Only in the infinite there is joy, unbroken, unconditional, unending, undiminishing joy. If you reach for worldly things to in the hope of finding happiness, it's a futile pursuit. Nalpe sukhamasti. That is what the Sanat Kumara says to Narada. Another sentence like that. One more sentence in Taittiriya Upanishad. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. Brahman is ultimate reality, truth, unconditional existence, jnanam, consciousness, knowledge, anantam, infinite, that is Brahman from Taittiriya Upanishad. Another one we just now saw, what Yajnavalkya says to Maitreyi, amrutatvasya nashasti vittena. Same thing, what Yajnavalkya said to Maitreyi, the little boy Nachiketa says to Yama. Nachiketa says to Yama, not Yama teaching Nachiketa. Yama offered all kinds of enticements to boy Nachiketa. I'll give you a large kingdom, Bhumer Mahadayatam Ranishwa. I'll give you kings and, I'll give you queens and horses and chariots and elephants and treasury and music and dance and ratha, everything I will give you. Take all these things and desist from asking about what happens after death. Nachiketa had the courage and the wisdom, little boy, to say to Yama on his face, to say to the Lord of Death on his face, Taveva Vahas Tava Nritya Gita. Take all this Vahana, Nritya Gita, Ratha, chariot and dance and music, keep it for yourself. Can anybody imagine that situation? A little boy standing there with all these irresistible offerings that Yama is giving. Large kingdom, long life to enjoy all these things. Any other person would have grabbed all these things and run away. Thank you. I'll worry about Brahmagyana later. Not Nachiketa. We have inherited Nachiketa's wisdom. We are the heirs to Nachiketa's wisdom and courage and viveka. Nachiketa had the courage and the viveka and the discrimination and the renunciation and the wisdom to tell Yama on his face. Taiva vaha stamadriti gite. Why he is refusing all these offerings? He says, Sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha. How much can you enjoy worldly pleasures? How much food can you eat? How much music can you hear? How much TV can you watch? How much money can you accumulate? What will you do with that? How many dresses, jewelry can you wear? All these are, they fade into insignificance compared with the joy of the self. And second problem with this is, as we advance in our age, our ability, our sheer ability to enjoy these things will rapidly diminish. Eyes will become weak, eyesight will become less acute, and we are not able to enjoy nice painting, beauty. Grandchild is standing in front of me, but I am hazily seeing something with the thick glasses. And my granddaughter is chanting, singing very very nice classical music. But I can barely hear what she is singing. What happened? So much food is there in the refrigerator in the kitchen, but my stomach cannot accept anything. What is Sarvendriyanam jarayanti tejaha? The ability of the body and the mind. So many things are there, but I can barely recognize my own spouse. That condition will come. That is not the way to find happiness. Therefore, Nachiketa says, Taiva vaha stavindriti gite. Then what else does he say? Navitte tarpaniyo manushyaha. This insight, deep insight of and wisdom of this little boy is astounding in the Katha Upanishad. He says, manushyaha vittena natarpaniyaha. A human being cannot be satisfied with wealth or anything that wealth can buy. Whatever you can think of that you can buy with money, that fails to give you satisfaction after some time. In the beginning, everything is so attractive and irresistible. You enjoy, you reach out for it. But after, in a very short time, that novelty fades and you don't find satisfaction. That is the limitation of worldly offerings. Such sentences are there in the Upanishad. The Shankaracharya is exhorting us to listen carefully to such sentences and dwell on the meaning of such sentences. Another sentence is Satyameva Jayate Nanritam, which comes in the Mundaka Upanishad, which you are going to study. Swamiji is going to teach Mundaka Upanishad Wednesday evenings. He's already begun that one. There this sentence comes, Satyameva Jayate Nanritam. Government of India has the logo, Satyameva Jayate. Truth alone triumphs. Satyameva Jayate. Truth alone triumphs. Naandritam, not untruth, not falsehood. Falsehood can never succeed. It may gain, give some advantage in the short run, but eventually it is truth that prevails. Truth alone prevails and triumphs. Satyameva Jayate Naandritam. Ishavasamidam sarvam. Ishavasya Upanishad. Like this, you can find dozens of sentences which in a very beautiful poetic way convey the essence of the teachings of the entire Upanishadic literature. So Shankara says we have to make it a habit to dwell constantly on these truths. We'll pursue this instruction a little bit in some more detail next time. Now I shall say the closing prayer and then we'll make some announcements. Closing prayer. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Badrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om, may all be happy, may all be peaceful, may all be free from distress, may no one be subject to misery. Om peace, may there be peace and joy in our hearts. May there be peace and harmony amongst all beings. And may there be peace everywhere in nature. Harihi Om Tat Sat Sarvam Sri Ramakrishna Arpanamastu.